Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris.
And my name's Matt.
And we're a couple of Catholic dads trying to become holy in this world.
Is it holy or holier?
Stop it.
No. Hey, guys, we have to tell you, like, we had this whole long debate. Not really a debate. I think Chris was just messing with me
over
Slack. Over Slack this week. He said we need to become holy. And I was like, don't you mean holier? Because I was actually offended. I was like, you don't think I'm holy, like, right now? You think I need to become holy? And so I was like, don't you mean holier? And he said, no. And then he went off on this random tangent that holier is nothing to do. What was your argument? Yeah, I know it was all fake.
It was a week ago, Matt, and your humility on how holy you are is just astounding. So I'm going to let that speak for itself.
I'm not saying how holy I am. All I'm saying is I should be coming, like, be getting holier, not just getting holy. Like, that means I'm like heathen before this.
Which brings us to our topic, right? Okay. Today, as part of this fatherhood series, Why Grow as a Father, like, because it's our vocation, because it helps make us holy.
Yeah. Or holier.
Or holier, right? But have you ever met a dad that was so bad that you're like, no, I don't think he's holy whatsoever. Like, he's not even 1% charged on holiness.
Maybe. But before we do that, have you ever looked across the room and just seen the shirt this guy's wearing and said, oh, that dude's a freaking dad?
Are you talking about my shirt?
I'm talking about your shirt. You're definitely wearing a dad shirt. I've got a couple of those, but I only wear them when I really want to look like a dad.
I've got my socks pulled up to my, halfway up my knees. Yeah, so I have a pair of sunglasses that really stick to my head well when I go running.
Yep.
Or, in all fairness, when I go jogging. And some of the youth that I work with at the church that I serve at, they said, where'd you get those glasses? The dad store?
Yes, we have a dad store.
I embrace it, man. That's I don't care if I look like a dad. I'm fine looking
dad
like a dad.
Dad jokes, pulled up black socks, flip-flops.
Not giving a bleep about certain things. You're just like, oh, I don't care. I'm not wasting this hot dog that you just dropped. I'm going to eat it.
I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, like, that's it.
All right. So today's episode, like Chris said, is like, why grow as a dad? To continue this series, there are a whole lot of different reasons why we're growing as a dad. And this one is because, I mean, basically we're called to. Like, this is our vocation, right? Our vocation is, like, so help me with this. Our vocation is marriage, right? Our vocation is husband. But is it also
capital V?
Like, what's the, like...
Right, so capital V vocation, right? All men are called, so don't quote me on this, but I think that all men are called to fatherhood in some level.
Yep.
Priests are called to spiritual fatherhood.
Yep.
Right? Husbands are called to biological fatherhood.
Yeah.
But
or
even
single, yeah.
Right. But even single or foster fatherhood, you're right. Even single men are called to a certain type of fatherhood in regards to the way that they steward the gifts that God has given them.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And again, fatherhood and stewardship are not exactly the same thing, but I think that there's an element of paternity or fatherhood.
Yep.
In every single vocation, even the single state.
Yeah. And so, but as a Catholic dad, it is part of our vocation to be dads, to be fathers, and to grow in that. Because, like, one of my thoughts in preparing for today's show was, like, when we think about the priest's vocation, right? Like, could you ever imagine? Now, maybe we've ran into priests like this, and I don't necessarily, like, whatever. But, like, can you imagine a priest, like, doing whatever formation they did right before they get ordained, and then not doing anything more to grow as a priest? Like, not growing in leadership, not growing in theological knowledge, not growing in their prayer life, not growing in all these things. Can you imagine that?
I can, and this is what would happen. In the same way that a dad, like, when something breaks that we don't know how to fix, we're there with our phone, kind of scrolling, looking up the YouTube video on how to fix it. Could you imagine, like, at Mass, he's like, oh, I forgot this part of the Mass, and he just pulls out his phone and starts scrolling to the YouTube version of how to transubstantiate bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And he's like, hold on, guys, I can do it. Could you pass me the wrench? You know what I mean? Like, it'd be crazy to think about that.
Well, and think about all, like, how much the world changes. Like, I'm just thinking in the last 20 years, like since I graduated college, in maybe a little bit later than that, but the last 20 years, how much society has changed, how much the world has changed, and how much I have needed to rely on different resources, both for leadership and my own formation and understanding the world we're in, because I'm raising kids, right? I'm raising kids. And so I need to understand the world that's in. And if I'm not growing in that, I have like nothing to offer to my kids or to my wife when we are confronted with the world and with different things that we run into. So if I stop growing as a father, my vocation, both as husband and as father, suffer because they are not prepared to deal with the issues that we deal with today.
Right. And so one of the cool things is in the Catholic Church, openness to children is a prerequisite for being validly married in the church.
Yep.
Now, whether or not you're able to have children, that's another story altogether, but sure, openness to children is required. So your preparation for fatherhood begins at the altar on your wedding day. You have to have a heart that's open to receive the blessing of children. So that capital V vocation in marriage as a husband is very much connected to your role or your calling to fatherhood. And then you share a special hug with your wife, and 9 months later, you get like a heads up. You know what I mean? And I remember...
Not everybody uses that same terminology, Chris. When you say special hug, what do you mean?
Well...
Do you mean marital embrace?
Do I mean... Like physical intimacy?
I hate all these other terms for what it is.
I mean, I'm not... Okay, anyways,
when you engage in intercourse with your spouse...
Sexual relations, yes, okay? Very good.
Sexual relations is so much better. That reminds me... What show is it? Oh my gosh. Eddie Murphy, when she says relations, like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Other people that are listening to this, watching this, know exactly what I'm talking about. Please comment below with what the heck I'm talking about, what show that comes from, what movie that comes from.
Anyway, especially since you said Eddie Murphy, she, so it's gotta be one of those where he's dressed up.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's dressed up. Moving on. So you get a 9 months heads up, right? And then the kid comes out and sleeps like 75% of the time. Like, there's all these different things to where the learning curve for fatherhood is constantly an ongoing classroom.
Yep.
Right? Like, you're learning what it's like to be a father to a 17-year-old, which is completely different than a father to a 10-year-old or something like that.
Yeah.
And so we learn as we go. And the wonderful thing about kids, I don't know how God did this, but when they fall asleep, you could have yelled at them. When they fall asleep, they wake up and it's a clean slate. Yeah. Like, for the most part, it's like you get a second chance every single day. And there's something beautiful of that. But the very act of relations is a participation as co-creator. So one of the things about God in the most ancient understanding of who God is God is creator.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And you cannot create life, human life, without a father. And there's something powerful about men participating as co-creators, because the ultimate giver of life is God.
Amen.
And so we participate as co-creators. And so the very start of our vocation in the formal sense of fatherhood is a participation with God from the get-go. And then we continue on into fatherhood, and sometimes it feels like we're all alone in regards to that. But if God was there to like co-create with us, He's definitely there to help us all along the way as we steward that creation and grow them into saints.
So,
and I think that's a beautiful reality, that when we talk about it as a vocation, that means that we are on a mission from God.
as we think about this, the sheer fact that our children grow means we need to grow and in our vocation. So I think about that, like when we were talking about kids and giving birth and 9 months later and stuff like that, you know, your kid comes out and sleeps 75% of the time while you're not sleeping at all.
Right.
But can you imagine like a 17-year-old popping out? Like, I go from not being a dad to having a 17-year-old. Like, how unprepared would you be for that?
Well, and if you've ever seen a giraffe give birth, that's probably something like what it would look like. Just hits the ground and then poof, up pops a giraffe. Like, it's just a giraffe. Yeah. That'd be crazy.
Yeah. And so like that, like God could have designed it in a lot of different ways. You look at a lot of different animals, like when they're born, they are walking and they're moving, and but we're not. Like, God didn't design us that way. We start out like very, very needy, and we grow in so many different ways throughout, you know, our whole life. But, and so that means to me, that says that as a father who is influencing and raising that being, I need to grow. Because that person's growing, that child's growing, God is equipping me or calling me to grow as well.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. And the neat thing is it's not just I need to grow as a father, but I also need to grow as a child of God.
Amen. Yep.
Right? And so that relationship is modeled. The fact that we as humans are dependent on others in order to grow, it should give us permission to be okay being dependent on God for our growth as well. And I think that's where a partnership with God is really part of what fatherhood truly is.
Yep. And this may be a hard switch, but like we talk about that first kid and what an impact that had on us as fathers. And you see this happen. I think every father has this moment where it's just this, oh crap moment, where it's like, I can't keep living the way that I was living. And I think some men run away from that. I think it's right. Like they're terrified of the demands it's going to place on them, because they know that they're going to have to be, like they're going to be expected to be better, stronger. They're going to be like more responsible. There's just so much more expected of them when that happens.
Yeah, even from the fiscal perspective, they're like, how can I afford a kid? It's like, here's how. You don't get any hobbies anymore. Yeah, your kid is now your hobby. Yeah. Like all the things that you used to enjoy doing, you enjoy this now.
Yeah.
And that's how you can do it. Like there really is a huge level of sacrifice and kind of self-denial that turns fathers into men through that process. Amen. Like there's a neat journey or bridge to a deeper sense of manhood.
Yep.
In the midst of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's it's amazing just what a difference that makes in the life of a man, in the growth of a man.
I got woke up. Like I was enjoying life, things were good, video games were awesome, right? And then all of a sudden it's like we got pregnant and I had 9 months to figure out how to increase my income, how to kind of order my life together. Cause I started thinking, is this the like tiny version of me? Is that what I want? Is this the me that I want to have duplicated? Yeah. You know, it, and I mean, I was working for the church at the time and things like that. So I would have been considered optically a good person, but like in regards to my daily routine and things like that, I was disordered in a lot of ways. And so it really did. Before the baby even, you know, came into the world, I was really blessed by the gift of fatherhood, and it really got some drive in me. It lit a fire.
Yep. Yeah, and that also plays into like goes along with what we were saying, like this being our vocation. That basically, I mean, that is the definition that this is our pathway to heaven. This right. is how God has called us to heaven, and so all those little moments of tension, of growth, of self-sacrifice, are steps on our path to heaven. And so like we need to grow as fathers because this is how we're going to get in heaven.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the beautiful thing is the gift of fatherhood, right? It's not just our job to get our kids to heaven, but all along the way, our kids help us get to heaven. Like that is the beauty of it. And so much of our role is like, what is the definition of a successful father? The children become saints in heaven. That's what I would define. If your children get to heaven, you were a successful father.
Maybe, you're pausing. Maybe.
Push back.
Yeah. I'm pausing because I don't know. Like, that's not my job. I mean, it's my job to set them up the best I can for success. I know you know this. It's God's job. Like, it's the Holy Spirit. And almost, like, even if I really screw it up, God can and does work in the way that God wants to work and needs to work to save right. my kids, even yeah. if I can royally screw it up.
Which and also, you don't want to take credit for something you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
I see what you're saying. You know? Yeah. So, I see that.
My number one job is for me to get to heaven. Like for me to have a strong relationship with God, for me to have a real relationship with God. That's my right. number one job.
Right.
And the overflow of that is what impacts everyone around me. First, my spouse, and then next, my kids.
Yes.
And then the world after that. And so
yep.
The hope is that the closer, like the way this, in my mind, the way this vocation works is my primary vocation is my relationship with God. Like that's like, and that may not be the right way to say it, but my, the primary focus is my relationship with God, which is why my vocation is my pathway to heaven. Because as I let go of myself and become more selfless and more sacrificial of my life to my kids, I actually get closer and closer to God, like through that process, because I'm letting go of all the, whatever, my own personal desires, personal wants or whatever. And,
right.
You know, and so then I get closer to God. And by doing that, it impacts my wife and her relationship with God and my kids. And that's the way that I would see it. So it's not my job to get my wife to heaven or to get my kids to heaven. Maybe it's my job to get out of the way. Right. And not be a stumbling block.
I want to give a little pushback, because at creation of life, that's like a God thing as well, but he allows us to be co-creators with that. And so why not? I think it makes sense that he would allow us to partner in his role or his task of fostering holiness in some of his children.
So
right?
Like co-creators, co-laborers, I would agree with.
Okay.
You know, but it's not my job. I'm supposed to work with God to help that happen. Absolutely.
But work is a job. God is like, that's a job.
But God is primary, not me.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. And there should be a sense of freedom or a sigh of relief in that reality, because we can screw things up, but we can't ever screw things up so much that our children or even our own lives or souls
Amen.
Are outside of the reach of God's love.
I can't tell you how many parents I've ran into whose kids have left the church. And they beat themselves up about it. Like, I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have done that. It's like you didn't like intend for your kid to leave the church. That's not like you don't raise them trying to get them to leave the church. Like you raised them the best you could with what you were given. And you've just got to trust God. Like, and that's where like, I think our trust and our recognition that God is who he is. We don't realize who he is, like how big he is and the plans he has and how much he loves our kids. He loves our kids way more than we ever could.
Yes. But I think that there should be a sense of, cause I don't want to take away, I think that guilt and shame are two different things, and yep. A little bit of guilt is okay and shame is not okay. And it sounds like the parents that are dealing with shame, maybe because their kids left the church or something like that, like they should surrender that to God. But like, I should absolutely, at the end of the day, if my kid was like, hey, dad, look at me, look at me, look at me, and all I'm doing is checking my email on my phone and not paying attention to my kid, like there should be some dad guilt that exists there. Like some of that is actually healthy, because I was not good at my job of partnering with God to help raise my child to holiness, right?
Amen.
And so in those moments, so there's a fine line that I want us to try and navigate to where it's like, yeah, we could be better dads.
Yeah.
Like even if you're an amazing dad, and I think if you're listening to this or watching this, you're already a step ahead because you're investing in your own fatherhood,
yep.
Right, as a Catholic dad. But there's always a step or a little bit of a room for improvement. And to look for those opportunities, I think, glorifies God and edifies you. You become holier because of the way you seek to become a better dad. A great dad is a holy dad. And so that is why it's tied into our vocation and our pathway and pursuit of heaven.
Yep. So this is something that hit me a little bit yesterday, but it was from Luke 12:39-48. And it was the readings. And the homily that the priest gave was the whole, with great power comes great responsibility.
Nice, Peter Parker.
And so that's what this is, right? God has given you the power of influencing this child, these children, and even your spouse. He's given you that, and a great responsibility comes from that. Mm-hmm. And so the scripture that basically, like the last line is what hits me, you know, much will be required of the person entrusted with much. Still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. And so that what God has entrusted us with as husbands and fathers, we are required to respond to that. And if we just wash our hands with it and pretend like we don't have a job to do, or sit back on our phones, sit back and watch football instead of throwing the football, then we are not doing what we are called to do with what God has entrusted us.
Which brings us to our segment, Avoiding the Millstone, Millstone, Millstone. Matt, how can we as Catholic dads avoid the millstone when it comes to our vocation?
You know, like, I hate doing this because I forget what we've talked about in the past. Maybe we should need to take notes about what we've talked about in the past. But you're doing it right here. Like, our job is to grow in our, as fathers, because it's our vocation. Avoiding the millstone is, in this segment, is listening to this podcast, like watching this video, maybe even doing a little bit more than that. Like, is there an area that you need to study, or is there an area that of your life that you've let go, that you haven't focused on, whether it's, you know, your own leadership or your own spiritual formation, or just spending time with the kids that you've let go of that you need to focus on? That's a different turn for most avoiding the millstones.
Yes. Thank you. That was avoiding the millstone. One piece that I think we really, as dads, could improve on as a whole, as Catholic dads in the church, is kind of owning that reality of this is part of my vocation. And so, like, when my kids are mad at me, sometimes when I give them a blessing at night, they try and avoid it. And I've literally had to bless their leg because they curl up in, you know, bunk beds and all the way in the corner. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to give you a good night blessing or whatever. But, like, I'm not doing it because this is like, oh, I'm being cute and this is like a good night kiss moment or something like that. I'm doing it because God has entrusted you, son or daughter,
yep,
to me.
Yep.
And I'm going to make sure that I put his mark, a sign of the cross, on you so that I'm reminded who you first belong to, because they are God's first before they are mine, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that in bringing in that reality and reminding ourselves of that, like, blessing your children is great for your children, but it's actually great for us as dads as well, because it orientates us properly in regards to our role and our mission as co-workers in the vineyard with God himself.
Yeah, we'll dive into this, like what I'm about to say, like a little bit deeper in the next session, next part. But the spiritual authority that we've been given over our children and within our home is part of that vocation, is part of what God's called us to. And there, I had a conversation with my wife a couple of weeks ago, because she did a novena with my son, and it was just like on their way to home or on their way to school and everything like that. But they didn't ask me to participate in it, you know, but it was not like they excluded me. But I was like, honey, like, God has given me, like, in a special way, the authority, the spiritual authority over our household. You need me in this position. And so that's part of our vocation, is that spiritual head. And that's another reason why we have to grow in that vocation, because we need to understand how the evil one works and how he wants to work and how he wants to attack. Because, and if we're not growing in our spiritual growth, then we're not going to notice some of those attacks that are happening. But if we're growing and continually growing in our vocation, we're going to recognize different things, different ways that the evil one is trying to attack our children, attack our spouses, attack our marriages. And so, like, that's all part of our vocation and what we've been called to as fathers.
Yeah. And on the flip side, because sometimes vocation feels like it's our task or our mission, but the flip side is that we get graces specific to our vocation, right? Yep. And so I always talk about how God created you with purpose and on purpose, and he has a plan for your life. Well, if you go into theology of the body, men are created differently than women, right?
Yep.
And so part of that purpose, right, has an execution. So God has an intention for your penis, for your manhood, for, you know, the things that can do, right? I'm sorry, don't laugh,
I'm laughing at the way you said it. Like, you didn't say penis like it was the normal word. You said it like you were in middle school.
Penis. Yeah. And look around. Okay, the teacher's not around. Let's talk theology of the body, right? And so, And so God has an intention for that and the graces that flow from that, right? And so if God made you an amazing singer, like you have a purpose for that amazing voice, if yep. he's given you the gift of teaching or prophecy or whatever, all those different pieces, right? And so if God gives you the gift of manhood, of fatherhood, right, blesses you with biological children or whatever, then you are going to have the graces that follow from that. And the funny thing is I saw those graces like right out of the gate, like literally, I don't know if my wife would appreciate like, just me saying out of the gate.
Real quick, even if yes. God graces you with an adoptive son, he's giving you those graces as well.
Without a doubt, yeah, because he put that calling on your heart, yeah, or foster fatherhood or spiritual fatherhood, like all those aspects are fatherhood in so many different ways. But he's given you the grace. I received it right out of the gate because when I used to stay up and play video games until 2 a.m, the next day I would be destroyed.
Yep.
But once we had a kid and I had to stay up until 3 a.m. trying to get the baby back to sleep, the next day I would have more energy, just enough energy. You know what I mean? It was like that grace, that fatherhood grace.
You weren't given graces for video games, but you were given graces for kids, which is funny.
Because God did not call me to play video games till 2 a.m, but he did call me to love my daughter until 2 a.m.
Yep.
Right? And so there's that reality that we need to lean into because when fatherhood gets hard, and fatherhood gets hard at times.
Yep.
We can make demands. We can make demands on God, our God of abundance, to say, I need the grace. I need what you have right now because I can't do this on my own.
Yeah.
And our God is a generous giver. And so all we have to do is ask. So do not be afraid in your fatherhood to make withdrawals on the graces that God has reserves for you in order to do what you need to do as a father and a Catholic man.
Yeah, I love that. Like when I think, sometimes I think about the missionaries at Ablaze, and we haven't mentioned this, I don't think, on this show yet, but I run a ministry, Ablaze Ministries. Chris works with me there. Yeah, of course we have. It's Ablaze Families, whatever.
We're back.
But ever so often, I'll have one of the missionaries babysit for me. And they leave my house exhausted. And because I've got 6 kids. I mean, it's a lot of work. And they're like, I'm not coming back for another year, Matt. I can't do it, you know. And I have to go like rotate through the missionaries because then they'll forget how bad it was and come back. But
the real reason why we're so invested in recruiting.
But but it's interesting because like at one point, one of the missionaries, because I was complaining and not really complaining, but I was like, you guys have no idea like what it's like. Basically running 2 businesses. My household, my family is a business in a way. And then I also have another business that I run or like even 2 jobs or whatever. There's never an off time, you know, unless right. I actually take a retreat or go on vacation. You guys have no idea what it's like. And then when they pointed out to me, it was like, yeah, but you're actually given the graces for that. I'm not. Like as a single person, they are not given the same graces that I'm given as a father of 6. And what like at this point in my life feels easy or normal, it's because of those graces. It's because of what God gives me for my fatherhood.
And there's moments of abundance that that people might not get to experience outside of fatherhood. So yeah. I got back from the conference that I was at this weekend. I came home and everyone was at the table finishing up dessert or dinner or whatever. And the second the door opened, everyone came and surrounded me. And because I have 6 kids as well, and they were hugging on me and stuff like that. Like that was a really cool moment in fatherhood.
Yeah.
That I never come home to an empty house.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. But I also never come home to an empty house, which is exhausting. You know what I mean? Like it's both sides. But there's a lot of beauty and graces in the midst of the laboring in the vineyard. And that's how it should be. Like our vocation shouldn't be a cakewalk, but they should be rich with meaning wherever you're at in your vocation. But the gift of fatherhood is absolutely rich with meaning. And it is our pathway to holiness.
Absolutely. So guys, this has been Why Grow as a Father, because it's your vocation. Please share this with somebody. Subscribe below, hit that bell so that you make sure and get notified every time we drop a new episode. We should be doing this every 2 weeks. And join us on The Village, ablaze.us/the-village.
Yes, and you guys, we believe that we can change the world through Catholic fatherhood. So thanks so much for joining us at the Catholic Dad Show.
God bless.